So, today I want to finish up this little thing that we started 3 weeks ago. Not the Jesus stories, this particular story, the Lord kind of laid it out for me that there would be three parts to this message. The first part, and this is referring to the paralytic in Mark chapter 2. There should be a scriptures near you. We're going to read them in just a moment. The first thing that we found out is that God forgives. And Jesus just nailed it. He just said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And then the next thing that we had learned. Okay, there we go. That didn't change on there, but it changed on there. A miracle. Only God can forgive sins. Last week we talked about that. I just want to put a little bit of a underline in that statement. I'm so convicted that as difficult as life can be many times for many of us, yet it remains that it is God who is the offended party in this relationship. He was the one who was offended. Mankind disobeyed God. God did not disobey us. God did not let us down. He didn't break covenant with us. He didn't do anything to harm us. He only meant good for us. So only God can forgive because he's the one offended. And he found a way to do it through his son. Just amazing. So today, I want to talk about something that is not as obvious, but the Holy Spirit has emphasized this one probably the most to me. So this is the message you probably don't want to hear, but we need to hear. And that is that, Jesus is saying, "Follow me," and that always sounds so simple. How many of you know following Jesus is not as simple as it sounds, right? Especially when he sets the pace and the pattern in relationships. He led with love. He led with forgiveness. Now we've got to follow that example, but not in our own strength. Here's the thing is that once you've been forgiven, you are automatically empowered to forgive someone else. So what's going on in Israel right now? If two people could forgive each other, there wouldn't have to be any more bloodshed. The power of the gospel and the advancement of the kingdom is not a mystery. It is when someone has been forgiven and God sends us home and says, "With the forgiveness you've received, forgive those in your family, your circle of friends. Go home forgiving." Well, look at that. There's a song on there. How did that happen? Follow me. Let's have that one. Another miracle has just happened. So, anyways, any questions? There'll be a test afterwards. I want to read it to you. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. This is the text that sprang us into this little study here. "Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" With that message, that simple thing, okay, God's ready to move. The kingdom is within reach. And by the way, the people should have understood that they could actually reach out and touch Jesus. The kingdom came with him, right? The kingdom was within reach, which means that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who can show us the kingdom. He's the one who can bring us into the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. So now repent or return to God and believe in the gospel. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. "And when he," Jesus, "returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there were no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. What word? The one I just read to you. That's what he was leading with. This is his message. He had the same message over and over and over again. He would start with that, and then he would demonstrate it, okay? And then he would lead people into it. He's not actually chosen disciples yet. He's going to do that soon. But he is setting the pattern. He's establishing his ministry, and he's telling people, if you're interested in what I have to say, it's really this, the time has come. God's heard your prayers, and here is the kingdom. The kingdom is within hand. It's within reach. You can reach it. But God is telling you, he wants you to come home. Come home to him and believe this good news. I'm going to just stop for just a minute and interrupt. You know, it wasn't any easier for them to believe in the good news than it is for us. Like right now, even looking at the situation, like how would Jesus pray? What would Jesus do? It's not any easier to try to figure out the way forward. But if you listen to Jesus, he told you the way forward. He just didn't tell you this is the way forward. He just shared something that was true, and then he demonstrated it. So when we read the scripture that says he was the stone that the builders rejected, we see Jesus, as we should. But Isaiah was thinking of Israel. They were the stone that the builders rejected. See, they're loved because of their forefathers, not because of their past or current performance. They're loved because of their forefathers. And God is in covenant. And within Israel, there is always the devout and the true. As in the church, there's always a church within the church, the devout and the true. And so it wasn't any easier for them to believe in the good news than it is for us sometimes. But so many people were attracted. It's like you're saying things that are distorting my understanding of reality, but I'm drawn to it. And when there was no more room, even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them. Verse number 3, they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And when they could not get near to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, apparently it's the 4 men and the paralyzed guy, you know, I don't know. Son, your sins are forgiven. Why did he lead with that? Because in this man's case, apparently this man needed to hear that. I'm going to do something today that you need to understand. I'm going to read between the lines but not blur them. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit gives us like just little bits of the story and the testimony of Jesus? We don't have the whole thing. As a matter of fact, John, one of his disciples, said, if we were to recount everything that Jesus did in those 3.5 years, the whole world couldn't contain the books. You know, so, you know, there we go. So a lot is left out. Economy. So when you're in Sunday school, what do you need to know? You need to know that Jesus heals. If you're a little bit older, we can teach you that Jesus forgives. But now that we're grown up, you know, we can also hear something even deeper than that, but we're going to have to read between the lines because there is no scripture text that proves what I'm about to say. And that is that this young man, for some reason, needed to know. He needed to hear that he was forgiven. And Jesus could see that. He came for healing, but he needed to be forgiven. Okay, so let's just build on that for just a moment. Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And they weren't wrong. Remember, God was the offended party, right? They weren't wrong on that. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they had thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart?" And I love this, which is easier to say. You know, Jesus, as his Father, the Father created just by speaking. And Jesus was going to change people's lives by speaking a word. We've all heard talk is cheap, you know. Not when Jesus is talking. So here's the thing. Jesus says, which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven. Or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins. They needed to know that. We need to know that. He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Can I just add, in the preaching of Moses, in the preaching of the law, they did not see this kind of result. And that's because the law can only take you so far. It can show you how to live and where you're right and where you're wrong, but it can't impart life. But Jesus is able to impart life. Amen? Well, that was underwhelming. Come on. Yeah. So anyways, I just want to point out two things real quick. Notice the difference. He said, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Okay? But what did he actually then turn and say to this young man? What he actually said to this young man was, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." What does walking with Jesus look like? It looks like following him. And what was Jesus trying to do? Well, I just feel like that it would be good for us to take a moment and to say, what does the kingdom that is at hand, what does it look like, really? I mean, healing would be a part of it, right? Forgiveness would be part of it, right? That's well and good. But how many of you know that even as Jesus is looking at this young man and he's wanting to restore this one young man, he is also thinking this young man obviously had at one point a father and a mother. Maybe had siblings. Maybe had grandparents. Maybe, you know, like, how was this young man raised? Maybe his father and mother raised him. Maybe the father was gone. Maybe he died. Maybe just the mother raised him. Or just the father. Or the grandparents. Or maybe he was fostered or adopted. Who knows where his roots were, but his parental figures, his mom and his dad, were not there. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying four friends brought him. Where's the mom and dad? Had they died? Had this young man somewhere in his life, you can imagine, get derailed? In 31 years of pastoral counseling, when I'm counseling people, 80% of the time or more, we're dealing with things today that is from the past. I would submit to you that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He's going to restore this young man, and he's going to send him right back where the pain started, where the breakdown happened, where the, you know, I think the first week I said, I wonder if maybe this young man broke into someone's house by taking the roof off and he slipped and fell and broke his leg. What, maybe it's like me on my own house, well, our barn, snow covered, skylight, plastic, covered with snow, stepped on it, fell through it. Yeah, that made my mom and dad real happy. You know, who knows where his story began? But I just want you to know, it's one thing to be forgiven, and that's the beginning of our healing journey. And it's another thing to be forgiven and then to be healed, and that's wonderful. But the kingdom of God advances when not only am I healed, but I start sharing Jesus with everybody around me, in my family members, and I lead with love and forgiveness. Because when you start sharing Jesus with your family, you know, depending on the family you came from, this can create more problems, more frustration, and more friction. It can make things worse before they get better. But here's what happens: is let's just say that all of a sudden you went from being paralyzed by sin, and God set you free, and now you carry the love and the forgiveness of Jesus in you, and then now the next thing that happens is the Lord says, I want you to share that with your family. And you go home and you share, and it goes, you know, it just tanks and it just goes nowhere. And then what happens is God is just so wonderful to allow certain things to happen in life where we have to humble ourselves and we have to ask for forgiveness. Is that, you find yourself saying, okay, I know I just told you that I accepted Christ, and I know that I needed him, and I know that I'm forgiven, but what I did to you was really so wrong, and it's not really an example of Jesus, it's an example of me. This is what you get without Jesus, right? This is me without him, and so I have to ask you to forgive me. And everybody around you is secretly rooting for you to get up on your feet, pick up your bed, go make something of yourself. Go, you know, become productive. Like, people have been carrying us for a long time. And it's like, come and just, if you could just enroll in college, if you could just get a job and hold it down, if you could just start, you know, living a testimony. I told you you didn't want to hear this one. It's just so where we're at. I'm just telling you, if it hasn't happened to you, it's happened to me. You should try being a pastor, right? I mean, that comes with a whole nother level of expectation. So, you know, fortunately, my parents never did that to me. But I know I know what people think. It makes sense. It's like, I thought you were Christian. I thought you were pastor. I thought you were a believer. I thought, you know, and people have assumptions about us. Someone let me know you're alive out there, right? I'm just saying, you have to picture the whole story. These things didn't happen in isolation. It's not like you turned on the TV and now it's another episode, and you have no backstory. You have no point of. I'm just saying, there's a young man and he's broken, and his friends just knew if we can just get our friend to Jesus, somehow I know that Jesus can make a difference. And they got him to Jesus. And just when you expect that Jesus is going to do something wonderful, he does something even more wonderful. He goes deep into the wound and he said, "You're forgiven." And that young man heard the voice of God saying what he needed to say is, no matter what his sin was, no matter what his rebellion was, no matter what he did, whatever caused this conflict, whatever caused his family to blow up or whatever, that God loved him and forgave him and sent Jesus, his son, to let him know, "I've come." Oh, man, when I was in Africa, just like you come 7,000 miles to tell people that Jesus loves them. And they're so appreciative of that. Jesus came, from heaven to tell us God's actually not angry with you. He loves you. His justice has got to be satisfied. You know why? Because he's holy, righteous, and just. And there's a devil. And the devil will exploit any legal loophole that he can. So Jesus can't just say, "Oh, you know, woman caught in adultery. Look, where's your accusers? There are no accusers, Jesus. They all left. Okay, well, neither do I accuse you." Jesus is not saying, "Look, it's not a big deal. At least you were with the right sex." You know what I'm saying? He didn't do that. He said, "Go. Sin no more." Why? The justice of God has to be satisfied, and there's no dignity in living the life you've been living. If you live this way, they'll drag you back here tomorrow. And there'll be more accusers. See, the beauty about beginning to live a life where you start to overcome, you start to win some battles, you get encouraged, just a little battle here, a little battle there, you start to get encouraged, and you start to think, look, you know, we can kick the teeth out of the devil, we can actually win in this thing, and the more confidence you gain from all of that, right, and you grow in it, confidence and growing is good, and all of a sudden, then you get hit with something else. But that's another story for another day. I just want us to take a moment and recognize that Jesus went deep into this boy's heart. And then he gave him what he came for, healing. Deep, then healing. Sometimes God goes healing and then deep. Sometimes he goes a little healing and then a lot of trouble, and then a lot more healing, and then deep. You know, I don't know. It's as varied as our experiences and as you and I are and our needs are. But Jesus looked at this young man and says, "We got to go deep, and we got to do spiritual surgery in that heart. You need to know you're forgiven. And God the Father sent me here to tell you that. That's why I called you son." That's why I called you son. If he had been a woman, that's why I call you daughter. I don't know about you, but when I heard the Father say, "Son," change everything, right? Changes everything. And now, we're going to go just a little bit deeper. with the forgiveness you have received and the healing you are received, you have received, I'm telling you, stand up. Do what you can't do. When Jesus says stand up, you better stand up, right? Jesus, that's why I'm here, is because I can't stand up. And we're expecting Jesus to do everything for us, and he does. But he wants us to participate in it. So he looked at that boy and he said, rise up. Church, I hear the Spirit of God saying, rise up. Not shaking fists. With love and forgiveness, go home. Do what you couldn't do. And then he says, take up your bed or take up your mat. I want you to be what you couldn't be. So you couldn't stand, therefore you couldn't work, therefore you couldn't be self-employed, therefore you couldn't take care of yourself. So then it's left up to other people. So Jesus looks at this boy and he says, listen to me. Okay, you're forgiven now. And I'm telling you, you're healed. So do something you couldn't do and be something you couldn't be. Isn't that good? This is Jesus raw, unplugged, not slicked down for commercial use. This is raw Jesus changing hearts, transforming lives. And then he said, and I want you to go where you couldn't go. Could be home. Could be a workplace. Could be school. Could be some friends, you know. Who knows where it is that the Lord is sending us to. But generally speaking, sooner or later, you will be right there where the pain began. Now, I must say, the Lord never sends us back to an abusive situation. Don't hear that. If you came out of an abusive situation, don't go back to it. Part of your healing is getting safe. Part of the reconciliation is you've got to have conversations. And I know the church can be guilty of sending, especially women, back to abusive husbands because we don't believe in divorce. But we do want people to know that God never sends us back to an abusive situation. Are we agreed on that? He doesn't do that, okay? And the church shouldn't do it either. And by the way, divorce doesn't have to be the first option, and reconciliation sometimes is not possible. I'm just going to tell you that, even though God hates it. Do what you couldn't do. Be what you couldn't be. And then go where you couldn't go. The kingdom of God advances when my desire turns from needing Jesus and needing his help to my heart loving Jesus, loving his heart. The transformation has truly begun when I'm gone beyond Jesus, I need you, like a drowning person, to Jesus, I want you. I love you. I worship you. And yes, I need you. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So, we're about done here. The kingdom is at hand anytime followers of Jesus shares what they have received from Jesus. So we are required to share our Jesus stories, right? This is what Jesus did for me. Now I want to tell you something about that. That is more powerful than you know. Now listen, People can reject your testimony. People can reject it. People can shut it down. People can not want to hear it. But let me tell you something. Your testimony is powerful, especially when your testimony begins with, "This is what Jesus did for me." And even the unbelieving person hearing that and saying, "No, no, no, put my fingers in my ears, la, 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 I don't want to hear it, I've heard this before, I don't want to hear it again," and you can't force that on me. And I'm like, we're not forcing that on you. But let me tell you something, it's too late. The Holy Spirit is going to take that word and start bringing something out of it. He's either going to make that person so uncomfortable and they will either embrace God or they will reject God. But in either case, there cannot be a sharing of God's word and a sending out of a testimony of Jesus and what he has done and what he can do and what he's done for me without it having an effect. It will. So the answer to what would Jesus do, it's actually Jesus has already done it. What he is asking us to do is to share our Jesus stories. Because as we share them, then it begins to replicate. And other hearts are changed. And other lives are changed. And then other people start saying, "I wonder if I got to Jesus, could he make a difference?" Could we start a holy rumor today that Jesus transforms hearts and lives? Could we just start a rumor today that says that if you come into the presence of God, you'll feel him. You'll sense him. By the way, that's the worship stuff here that we do. This is not to create an atmosphere. This is literally worshiping God. Because when two or three gather together in his name, he promised to be there. So we're just worshiping him. Now what he does, that's up to him. Amen? That's up to him. So when you feel his presence, we're not hyping. We're not trying to create something. We're just trying to love on Jesus and give you this opportunity. And so when you and I begin to testify and to share his love, the stories are replicated. And the power of the testimony is that God can do it again and again and again. And I just end with this by saying that the one thing that was so powerful by what was happening in the first and the second chapter of Mark is that even with that the leper, the stream of people who were healed by Jesus returning to Jerusalem to the temple and looking to the priests for their readmittance into community, that constant stream of people into Jerusalem was a testimony to Jerusalem that the time was fulfilled. The kingdom was at hand. We need to repent, return to God, and believe the good news. So what's your Jesus story? And who can you share it with? Where is your point of pain? Where might the Lord be calling you back to? You'll never know until you take the chance. You take the effort to share. I saw my brother and my sister. We got to share some time together, John and Roxanne, Judy and I, down in Inner Harbor, to see them share their love with homeless people, share their love with people in need, reaching out to them, sharing a testimony. What a powerful, powerful witness, not just of John and Roxanne, but of Jesus Christ, because the Lord had sent us from the Harrisburg area to enjoy a day together, but we took the time to share a Jesus story. Would you please stand with me? Next week, Judah will be sharing. We'll give him all the space he needs. He'll be prepared to share a little bit more if time permits. But I've given him permission to share for the whole teaching time, right? So come and encourage him, because he's going to bring you his Jesus story. He's going to tell you what Jesus did in his life, and so we want to encourage him in that. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Jesus stories that are going to come out of this day, because I know as sure as I'm standing here, someone's going to talk to someone they need to talk to, and they're going to lead with love, and they're going to lead with forgiveness, and that loving and that forgiveness is going to unlock someone's heart, and before you know it, people will be confessing, and people will be receiving Christ. And so, Lord, we just thank you, because we stand at a moment in time, and yet, what we're doing today is replicated in the kingdom of God advances, little by little, in this world. So, Father, we thank you for this great, great privilege. Lord, thank you for healing this young man. Thank you for giving us, you know, like a touch point where we can see what it means to follow Jesus. And Father, I pray that you just continue to give us hearts that hunger for Jesus raw and unplugged as he really is. Not slicked down, not made for commercial use. And yet, Lord, I pray that there be a constant stream of testimonies coming in from what you've done in people's hearts and lives as people share the Jesus stories. We pray, Lord, that families would be healed. People would be reunited. Marriages would be restored. Reconciliation would occur. Reconciliation between family members. Reconciliation between friends. Reconciliation between races. Reconciliation, Lord Jesus, between our states. Reconciliation between nations. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name for the power and the authority to go with love and forgiveness and share the Jesus stories. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to celebrate communion. Kids are probably going to come in here in just a minute, you know, but if you just slide out to the outside aisles on either side, form a line, come down through, serve yourself. Please hold on to your elements until everybody has been served, and we'll partake together.
Lord of all creation. Of the water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle, glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. Lord of heaven and earth.
Reading from Luke 22. Jesus speaking. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of question about that. Does he mean like when he comes back and all the nations worship him? Or did he mean on the other side of the cross when they ate along the shores? How they, it was fish and bread, but it wasn't Passover, so. But either way, I think Jesus is as hungry as we are. I tell you the truth, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to them, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And then he said this amazing thing. Behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. Speaking of Judas. The Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it would be who was going to do this. And a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was the to be regarded as the greatest. Lord, I'm just praying today because I never want to betray you. I never want to betray your body, your blood. I never want to betray your people. And I never want to be the greatest. Just your servants faithfully serving you. So as we hold this bread, we ask that you would search our hearts and know us. We ask that you would forgive us. Father, we pray that from last Sunday when we took this together till now, that you forgive us of the sins that we've committed. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all acts of betrayal, all acts of pride and egotism. And prepare a body on the earth as the bride of Christ, ready for you when you return. So we eat this bread, anticipating your return. We bless it in Jesus' name. Let's partake together of the reminder of the Lord's broken body. And after they had eaten, he took the cup and said, this cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. Now it's not just for Israel. It's for Jew and Gentile. For whoever will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a new covenant. And there's a new Jerusalem. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So we lift this cup before you and ask your blessing on it. And I pray that everyone who drinks from this cup not only would be faithful to you, but they'd be protected by you. They'd be blessed by you. They'd be encouraged by you. They would be directed by you. And they would represent you till you come for us. So we thank you. Let's partake together. And I just lift up my hands and I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord bless you when you come in, when you go out, when you rise up, when you sit down, in the city and in the country, wherever the will of God should lead you. May the Lord bless you in this coming week. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.